Amen, 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 amen. How many is excited about what God is doing? I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited to be back with you today. We don't like to be away, but we were just for a couple weeks kicking Corona's butt and coming back undefeated. Amen. So thank you all for those that were praying for us. And all I can tell you is we kicked the devil's butt. We took some names and we're back to tell the tales. So let's pray. God, I thank you, Father, for this wonderful day. God, that you have brought us together for such a time as this. God, to be your people, to be a people of faith, to go on a faith journey. And so I thank you, Lord, as we look at your word, God, that you would show us, Father, things that will cause us to increase in you, cause us to see things by your word that will cause us to be undefeated, cause us to be successful in the things that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So today, I want to talk to you a little bit more about this contrast between fear and faith. Somebody say fear.
Fear.
And faith. And specifically, the topic today is persistent faith. Somebody say that with me. Persistent faith. I want to tell you, there's something powerful when you have persistent faith. So let's look right here at Luke 18. Let me read it for you. Luke 18 says, one day Jesus told his disciples the story to show how they could always pray, how they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city now came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Wow. How many, when he returns, will have faith? What does your faith look like today? When Jesus checks up on you, when Jesus returns, what will your faith look like? We look at this world that we live in, and we can either look from a faith perspective or we can look from a fear perspective. And when Jesus returns, he's going to be checking up on his people to see how their perspective is. Many of our actions and choices we make depend on either a faith perspective or a fear perspective. Now, a faith perspective will cause you to have certain types of actions, right? So if you have faith, you're going to act a certain way. If you have a faith perspective, you're going to have certain types of faith actions attached to it. The Bible tells us in James 2:17, faith by itself, if not accompanied with action, is dead. Faith without works is dead. There has to be some works. So when you have faith, there's certain types of actions that are attached to that faith. So if you're really operating with a faith perspective, you're going to have different actions than other people around you. Because faith is active, faith is moving, faith is alive. And Jesus told something to his disciples, I think, that's so key in Luke 17:5. The apostles came to the Lord and they said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Let me say that with me today. Increase our faith. So this is the question that the apostles asked the Lord. Show us how to increase our faith. But then the Lord answered and he switched the conversation and he said, if you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So the disciples started a question about increasing faith. How can we increase our faith? But Jesus switched the conversation to say, but if you just understand how to use the measure of faith that you've already got, miraculous things can happen. Now, it's not a bad thing to ask for God to increase your faith. And if that's your prayer, man, more power to you. I want for us to increase in our faith. God, I'm sure, wants us to increase in our faith. But first, Jesus said, let me switch the conversation and say, if you just understand how to use a little bit of faith, miracles will happen in your life. If you can just understand the measure that you already have, how to capitalize on that, incredible things will happen in your life. So he has this conversation. He's switching their perspective to say, listen, we're going to pray. We're going to search for it. I don't want to dampen what you want. You want to increase your faith? I want that for you too. But also at the same time, and sometimes more importantly, understand the measure that you already have and how to apply that. But here's the problem, talking about this contrast, oftentimes fear now is that impediment to us exercising the measure of faith that God has already given us, correct? So we have a measure of faith, but then fear gets in the way. Fear gets in the way of us living our life. Fear gets in the way of us living our purpose. Fear gets in the way of us obeying what God has called us to do, especially when he asks us to do things outside of our comfort zone. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So God doesn't give us fear. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us love, power, and a sound mind. Listen what God gives us. He gives us a measure of faith. Romans 12:3 says, right? But think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Somebody say, each one, a measure of faith. Say, I have a measure of faith. Everybody in this room, when you come to Christ, you are given a measure of faith. So think about what Jesus said as we're saying, oh man, if I just had a little more faith, I could do this. Jesus says, no, no, no. If you just learn how to use the measure of faith you got, miracles will happen. Does God have more for you? Yes. Can your faith be increased? Yes. But learn how to use what you got, because God wants to do miracles in your life today. Everyone has been given a measure of faith as we come to Christ. We have the capacity, but it's how we use it. And if we use it, are you going to use it? Or will you let that faith be dead, be dormant inside, right? Faith without works is dead. What happens when we stop working? The faith lies dormant. The faith lies dormant. The measure of faith that God gives us lies dormant when we don't take action. Faith, action. Amen. When you hear the news, how do you respond? When you hear something about the pandemic, how do you process that? How do you process when you hear things in the world that you don't agree with or you don't like? Do you respond by faith? Or do you respond by fear? How do you process that information? What is your perspective? Fear and faith both tell a narrative. Amen? Fear tells a narrative. And faith tells a narrative. They're both talking. They will talk to you. Fear will talk to you. Faith will talk to you too. So they're both telling a narrative. We hear the same information. We hear the same news. We hear the same things. But how we process it makes all the difference. I process it through the lens that I'm wearing. Am I wearing a lens of faith? Or am I wearing a lens of fear? Determines how I process the information and the facts. It's not that we have different facts. It's just some of us look at things through the lens and the perspective of faith, and others are looking through the lens of fear. And I don't say this out of condemnation. I say this out of a challenge and as stirring up faith inside of you today, because it's not about condemnation. The Bible says now, therefore, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So I'm just saying, get all the way in Christ Jesus. Because when you're all the way in Christ Jesus, you have a different perspective. What operating system will you choose? There is a faith operating system and a fear operating system. And the thing is, they're not compatible. Fear doesn't run on the faith operating system. Faith doesn't run on the fear operating system. You have to choose what operating system that you're going to use. When you wake up in the morning, you have to say, I'm going to use the faith operating system. I'm going to cast my cares upon Him. I'm going to put my faith and my trust in Him. I'm going to take whatever comes at me today. I'm going to take whatever the news says. I'm going to take whatever facts and information come to me, and I'm going to process it through this faith belief system, this operating system of faith. Faith or fear? They handle life vastly different. Fear plays it safe, doesn't take risk, doesn't take chances, doesn't try the new things that God lays right out there. Fear does not walk in purpose. Can I say that to you again? Fear will not allow you to walk in the fullness of your purpose. You will not walk in your destiny if you walk in fear. You will always be a few steps, a few opportunities behind because you didn't walk through those doors. You didn't take those chances. You didn't make those leaps of faith because fear will stop you. If you're on the fear operating system, you won't get all God has for you. You can only get that from the faith operating system. It's different. Faith shows you new possibilities. It shows you the miraculous. It shows you healing. It shows you all kinds of things, but it's risky. You have to put yourself out there. It's a whole different operating system. You choose, I choose, and we choose every day what operating system, what narrative that we listen to. And if you get good enough, actually, you can hear the narrative when somebody starts to talk, right? You get accustomed if the faith operating system becomes native to you, right? You begin to hear faith, and you, oh, that's the faith narrative right there. And you hear something else, you say, no, that's the fear narrative right there. And you can easily distinguish it if you've chosen your operating system, right? If you've chosen the operating system of fear, you can hear somebody that's talking faith. Now, that's the faith narrative. Maybe you're saying it to yourself subconsciously, but you know. You can immediately tell the difference between the fear narrative and the faith narrative. Just look at somebody today and say, get off that old operating system. It's not going to take you anywhere. Not going to take you anywhere good. We see the same facts. We see the same information. But whatever operating system determines how you process the information. I can look at the same set of information that someone on a fear operating system looks at, and I see the possibilities of what God is going to do. I see how God's going to turn this around. I see the miraculous. But whether you're on the faith operating system or the fear operating system, can I tell you today, you're right. Yep, you heard me correct. If you're on the faith operating system or you're on the fear operating system, your assumptions about your life are correct. That's right. You're right. If you see through the lens of fear, you're right. If you see through the lens of faith, you're right. How can both be right? I thought one had to be wrong. The other one had to be right. This is what Scripture tells us. Job 3:25.
Whatever we fear most comes upon us. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that life and death are in the power of our confession. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever processing system that you're using, you're right. If you think the future is bleak, guess what? You're absolutely correct. That is going to be your future. Bleak. If you're on the fear operating system, the future is bad. Terrible. But if you're on the faith operating system, guess what? The promises of God are yes and amen. God is looking to do a miracle in your life. God has not forsaken you. He will never leave you. He has called you to prosper. He has called you to be more than a conqueror, to be undefeated. Oh, when I look at the future is bright. For the people of God, the future is bright. Oh, but you have to look through the right operating system. James 1, 6 through 8 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord if he is double-minded or if he's on two operating systems. If you try to be on the fear operating system and the faith operating system simultaneously, it will not work. Let that man not expect anything from the Lord. Wow. If you're jumping from system to system, if you're going back and forth from fear to faith, don't expect anything from God. A double-minded man, a person that's operating on both fear and faith, you can't obtain the promises of God. You cannot access the kingdom. You cannot access the things of God when you're on two operating systems. That person should not expect anything. What did the Apostle James say? Do not expect anything from the Lord. It's unstable when you try to put fear on the faith operating system or faith on the fear operating system or somehow try to combine the two operating systems into something that makes you feel comfortable. Don't we do that sometimes? We try to make an operating system in our image. It's not really faith, and it's not really all the way fear, and it's some kind of commingled operating system. Don't expect anything from God with that. It doesn't work. The only way to obtain the promises of God that we always quote in Scripture is how? On the faith operating system. On the faith operating system. That's the only way to get it. On the faith operating system. Choose your operating system. Choose the lens that you will look at life through. I don't know about you, but I'm getting stronger every day. I'm winning a little bit more every day. I'm undefeated because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I'm the head and not a tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. Because of this faith operating system that God put me on. Whether my faith is loud or whether my faith is quiet, I'm walking by faith and not by sight. This is the way that I'm living. This is what I've decided. I'm going to live by faith, not by sight. Because that's what faith people do, right? It's not naive. It's just that I've decided to follow Jesus. And I'm not going to turn back. I've decided to follow Jesus and to do it His way. I've decided to follow Jesus and to take on this faith operating system. And I'm not turning back. I'm not jumping back and forth. I hope that's what bears witness with you today. If I want kingdom things, if I want access to kingdom things, I have to have a kingdom perspective, right? I got to have the kingdom keys to get to the kingdom stuff. The key to the kingdom is faith. Faith operating system. I can see the same information that the world sees, but I don't process it the same way. I can listen to the same news broadcast. I can see the same social media feeds, but I process the information differently because I'm on a different operating system. I can hear the reality that you're talking about, but that's not my reality. I've learned of a higher reality. I've learned of a higher truth. And Jesus died on the cross to give me a faith operating system that I don't have to be a loser. I don't have to be the tail, but I can be the head. I don't have to fall into a bad economy because I can be part of a kingdom economy. I have a different operating system. We have a different operating system that we can access, that we can live by. There is a better reality, and Jesus died to give it to us. Wow. There is a better reality. There is a better way. There's a better operating system, and Jesus died to give that to us. I've got a faith. Jesus gave it to me. The world can't take it away. Somebody that doesn't like my faith can't take it away from me. I'm not going to stop operating on a faith operating system, even if it makes somebody a little uncomfortable. Sometimes there's going to be some people in your life that are still on that old fear operating system. And what you're talking about is going to make them uncomfortable. That's okay. I have decided to be a person of faith. I have decided to have a lifestyle of faith and not fear. I've decided to operate on this faith operating system. I have a reality that I'm living in, that God never fails. Yeah, yeah. In this operating system, in this way of life, I serve a God that never leaves me, never forsakes me, never leaves his children begging for bread, causes us to be overcomers, causes us to conquer. It's a different way of living, but you have to surrender. Somebody say surrender. You got to surrender. If you want to get this, you got to surrender to it. The truth of the matter is, we surrender to stuff all the time, right? We surrender to love or we surrender to hate, right? We surrender to mercy or we surrender to judgmentalism. We surrender to a spirit of generosity or a spirit of poverty. We're always surrendering to something. We surrender to faith or we surrender to fear. But whatever it is, you need to commit. Commit. The Bible says, don't be hot or cold. God spews that. That's the double-minded man that doesn't get anything. Don't be hot or cold. Choose what operating system and commit to it. Surrender to it 100%. Doing what God says will scare you. Sometimes, right? Jesus says some crazy stuff sometimes. He said, sell all your stuff and follow me. Quit your job and follow me. Love the people that hate you and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. He said some stuff that scared the crap out of people. Right? You've amassed all this with your life. Sell that and follow me. He'll ask you to do some stuff that's downright uncomfortable. that takes you out of your comfort zone. But if it's not scaring you sometimes, that's not the faith operating system. That's not the faith operating system. It's either faith or it's not faith. The faith operating system is the scariest thing sometimes that you've ever seen. But it's the most fulfilling. It's the greatest life. It's the greatest ride. It's the greatest journey that you've ever had. It's fulfilling in ways that you could never even imagine. But it's a risk. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you it's a risk. Jesus said, you got to commit to this. If you're going to follow me, you got to hate your mom in comparison to how much you love me. You got to commit. You got to commit. You got to commit. But when you commit, you see the miraculous. You see the things that you never thought you would see. One of the disciples came to Jesus and he said, I believe. I believe you are the Messiah. He said, you said that because I said I saw you sitting underneath the tree? He said, man, I'm about to blow your mind. If you can commit to this, if you can commit to this faith operating system, I'm going to show you some stuff. I'm going to show you the miraculous. I'm going to show you a way of life. And life more abundantly that you've never imagined. If you'll take a risk. If you'll step out in faith. If you'll take this operating system as your own. See, it's religion that offers comfort. And Jesus showed up. It was the religious people that we're offering business as usual. They said, oh, no, 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 don't listen to Jesus. We got business as usual, no risk. It's going to be the same. It's going to be comfortable. It's the Israelites fresh out of Egypt that said, let us go back to that comfortable slavery. I don't want to follow this wild man Moses and faith in the wilderness. Faith is risky sometimes. I got to close my eyes sometimes and make sure I'm not walking by sight. Make sure I'm walking by faith. God said to Abraham, he said, leave and go. Leave your family and go to a place I'll show you. What's the place? I'll show you. Isn't that what God says when you're on the faith operating system? Says, go. Oh, God, where are you sending me? I'll show you. Well, what's it going to look like? I'll show you. You'll know it when you get there. Just go ahead and pack up all your stuff. We're going to go on a trip. Going to go on a journey. That's faith. What if I failed, Pastor? I tried faith, but I had moments where I just fell on my face. What do I do now? Try again. Pastor, I'm not trying to be on the fear operating system. I've just been disappointed. Sometimes I was doing the faith thing and it just went from bad to worse. What do you have to say to me today? And I'm glad you asked. Try again. The people that are on the faith operating system are not there because things were easy. It's because they've proven that they can go through the difficult times and God's promises still work. I'm not on the faith operating system because it's easy. I'm on the faith operating system because the devil took his best swing at me and I got back up.
I'm on the faith operating system today because when they told me that my first child had a heart defect when she was born, I said, I've decided to follow Jesus. And I'm not turning back. I'm not on the faith operating system today because it's been easy. I remember a time when we were looking for a church building and we couldn't find one, and then we finally found one. And I went here to talk to some of the elders of the church and see if this was the place for us and sign the papers. And the devil put my other child in the hospital with a heart issue. I'm not standing here today because faith is easy. I'm standing here today because faith works. Faith will work for you. Faith isn't easy, but faith works. Those two kids are the healthiest kids that you could imagine. When they do jujitsu, they choke the crap out of each other. They go after it. And it reminds me how good God is. Because I didn't back down and say, you know what, I'm going to close up shop. I've had about enough. The devil touched my first child, or the devil touched my second child. I said, no, I'm standing on the word of God because his word never fails. His word never fails. His word never fails. And I've chosen to have a faith operating system. Will you stand on your feet with me today? I want to get a little bit of this faith on you because it has changed my life. It has changed my perspective to stare death in the face and say, no, you can't have my daughter. To stare the devil in the face and say, no, you can't have my family. No, you can't have my church. Faith. Stick your hands up in the air with me. God, I thank you, Father, for each and every person that's in this room right now, God. It's not by accident. It's by a divine appointment, Lord, that you've brought us together for such a time as this, God, to stir up faith in us. God, in this hour, in this time, in this world, God, you need a people of faith. Lord, your word said that the righteous would be as bold as lions. God, you've called us to walk by faith, to not back down even when the enemy gets up in our stuff and gets up in our families and gets up in the particulars of our life. That we stand by faith and we stand on the word of God. And we know that you never, never fail. You never fail. You've never lost a battle. God, I thank you, Father, for your people, your sons, your daughters today, God. Stir up the measure of faith that you've given them, Father, when they came to you. God, as they came to you and they came to Christ, God, maybe it's lying dormant today. Maybe it's dead today. But God, I pray that you wake it up. God, I pray that you bring that dormant thing back to life. God, I thank you that you're still resurrecting us. You're resurrecting dead faith. You're causing it to come alive. God, bring us to life today. Bring us to life today. Bring us to life today that we walk in the fullness. We walk in the fullness of what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Somebody just shout and rejoice like you know God has given you the keys.